Welcome to Between Heaven and Earth, an internet radio talk show where we help you connect spirit and divine guidance. Lisa Kay, your host, brings you shows that can enhance and transform your life with tips and new ideas for more happiness, abundance, and better relationships. Lisa is an expert on intuition and can show you how to strengthen your inner guidance to empower yourself. Each show is positive and uplifting to inspire your day. Her guest speakers are specialists on self-help, positive thinking, spirituality, and conscious living. Be the best that you can be with Between Heaven and Earth, conscious living for your soul.
And angel blessings to everyone. Our show today is called Feel Great All the Time for the Rest of Your Life. Now, feeling great is not something that can be bottled up and bought, and it's not something that can come from where we live, what we drive, or who we know. And it's not about having a good time for a few hours or having money to spend. Feeling great comes from putting your life in order and remembering who you really are, an authentic way of living from the inside that will sustain you through life's challenges. A complete guidebook called Feeling Great, Creating a Life of Optimism, Enthusiasm, and Contentment offers a simple blueprint for a lifelong embodiment of true contentment. Our guest today is Kelly Johnson, one of the book's authors. She's going to talk to us about how you can learn to feel great too. Kelly Johnson has worked in the publishing industry for many years, reading, selling, and marketing other people's books. When the opportunity to write Feeling Great with Peter Vegso and Daddy Junkie came along, it was an unexpected honor. Kelly Johnson gratefully lives near the sea in Satellite Beach, Florida, writing and doing the work she loves. Welcome, Kelly. It's so great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's exciting. I you know, reviewing this book, I just love the Pearls of Wisdom. It's a nice little book. It's I would say it's like a, it really is kind of like a pocketbook, but it's just filled with wonderful, wonderful things. So I wanted to start off and tell us a little bit about Daddy Junkie and how the book came about because of her work and how you got connected with her.
Okay, sure. Daddy Junkie and her group, which is called the Brahma Kumaris, which is also called the Daughters of God, we have published several of their books under HCI, which Peter Vegso is the publisher. So through the years, I had met a number of people with the Brahma Kumaris organization and Daddy Junkie from Frankfurt, Germany, at the international book fairs to Florida. They have they have groups all around the world. So I knew who they were, and I had always had so much respect for the work that they do and what Daddy Junkie has done personally, you know, to get this going. So, you know, when this opportunity came, actually what happened was Daddy Junkie had written like a brochure, and it was titled the same. It was Feeling Great. And Peter read it, and he passed it on to me, and we were just absolutely loved it.
Really? Now, how big was this pamphlet? Was it a book? Was it a tome?
Maybe 8 pages.
Eight pages.
No, it was just a little,
wow.
like a brochure. So you can imagine there was a lot in each one of the little points.
It must have been.
It's
like a filled with gems, right?
Yeah, it just was. And so we knew right away, knowing her and their work, you know, everything was behind all of these points. So Peter asked her if, you know, we could work with her and develop it into a full book. So that's really what I got to do, was, you know, work with her and just, you know, dive into her years of teaching.
Right. Now your publishing house published, I believe it was Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Oh, yes. We published all of those.
Okay. So you guys are well established.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah. What a great thing to connect Dottie and your publishing house. Wonderful.
Yes. And let me say that Dottie Janke turned 99 years old this last year.
Imagine.
Yeah. So she probably doesn't have so many years.
You know, 99. She's still going. What is she still working? Is she retired?
She is still going. She was in London this
really?
Year.
Really? London?
Was here in the United States about a month ago.
Where does she live? Does she live
in India?
In India.
Yes. She doesn't
That's
travel
amazing.
That much anymore, but she does occasionally.
That's amazing.
Yes. So, Yeah. So
what's her story? How did she get, you know, where did her wisdom come from?
Oh, you know, wisdom like that has to, it comes from God. It comes from, you know, loving people, caring for people, dedicating your life to doing that. You know, exposing yourself to all sorts of people and all sorts of situations and having the heart to understand them and turn those situations and those people into words and dialogue that other people can understand.
So, when did she, so she joined, you said the Daughters of God. And how old was she when she did that?
Oh, she was just, she was a late teenager. She's really one of the founders.
So this was a lifelong pursuit.
Yes, yes. She was one of the founders. And, you know, even younger, she really wanted to find out who she was, to connect spiritually, to find out who God was. Mm-hmm. So she searched, you know. It didn't just happen to her. It was something that she really pursued because she knew that she wanted to pursue peace and love.
Mm-hmm. And did she find God?
She did. She found God sort of inadvertently.
How did she find God? Or what happened when she did?
Well, when she was walking one day with her father, as a matter of fact, and she had met Brahma Baba. He's actually the founder of the Brahma Kumaris, and then Daddy Janki came in along with him to, you know, develop it further. But Brahma Baba was a friend of her father's. And when she met him, she had this, like, the spiritual, I don't know, it's like an experience of light that she had, and it just touched her.
I think sometimes they call it a spiritually transformative experience.
Right. That's that's what it was.
Wow.
And it was a really beautiful moment for her, and she just felt that it just quenched that search in her, that, you know, she knew it was what she was looking for. And it's not as though Brahma Baba was God himself, but it was through him that she was able to make this connection. And, you
to
know,
have
that
the experience,
happened.
I guess. Yes. That seems to be what enlightened ones there, they experience God. They come to know. I guess it's a moment, or maybe it stuck with her, of enlightenment, where you know and feel and experience that oneness with God, which is really oneness with everything.
Well, you know, that's one thing that we forget often, that sometimes that we're here to facilitate that in other people too. And we can do that if we pay attention. Likewise, other people, if we pay attention to them and we surround ourselves with people like that, man, we can learn so much.
Oh, yeah. So much, it's so nice to follow people who have connected with God in that way. I posted a quote on our Facebook page, facebook.com /Between Heaven and Earth, which is the page for the show. And this came out of the book. This is a good place to read it. This came out of the book. It says, "Once I asked God," this was from Daddy Junkie, "once I asked God, did you find me? Or was it that after all my searching, I finally found you? And the reply that came was, you weren't searching for me all that much. It was I who was looking for you." I love that quote.
Yeah, I do too.
It's really wonderful. So it's like God is waiting for us to find him, her, it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yes. And as long as we don't close our mind off to it, you know, we can have these great experiences because it's the two of us coming together, really.
Yeah. Now, what does she say? What has she learned? What does she teach us about, you know, I guess what she's received from God? Is she teaching us how to do what she's done, which is connect with God, or what is it?
Well, you know, she does, both, although I would say that more so than not, what she is trying to do is show us the way to learn who we are and to make that connection. And when we have that connection, how to deepen it and really how to use that for the good of other people, for the world.
And it seems, too, that what comes out of that is when you're on that path, it leads you to feeling great, it sounds like.
Well, you know, I think it does. I think when we're really truly from our heart promoting peace and love, and we're really trying to facilitate that. Now, how do you not really feel good? I mean, those are the things that matter.
Yes.
So, I think intrinsically we
feeling
do.
Great, creating a life of optimism, enthusiasm, and contentment. And we've got about a minute before we go to break. But can you tell us so now we've got Dottie and we've got her teachings, and how did that become the book?
Well, Peter, being the publisher, sort of brought us together, and, you know, working for him for many years, he asked me if I would write it. One, he knew how much I respect the organization, the Brahma Kumaris, and I guess he had some faith in my writing, which is nice. And, you know, he has always been a searcher, a seeker, a facilitator of enlightenment. So, you know, this was just up his alley anyway, and the three of us got together. I got to write and, you know, learn more from Daddy Janky.
Really embody. I guess that was the synchronicity there, sort of like the universe or God came along and said, we're going to immerse you, Kelly, in the teachings of Daddy Janky, right?
And
what better way than having to write write the book and put it all in a book. I know that's when you become the teacher, you really have to know what you're teaching about. Well, we're going to go to break in about 15 seconds. But I wanted to, when we come back from break, talk about the book and go through some of the teachings in it, you know, how to feel great, keys to feeling great, why we stop feeling great, and how to start. There's a lot of wonderful things in here. Enthusiasm, optimism, letting go, and laughter. So we'll be back in a couple minutes with Kelly Johnson.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Dr. Kevin here, and I want to invite you every Thursday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, to join me on The Dr. Kevin Show, where we have a diversity of guests who help you step outside the box, behind the curtain, and see what a load of crap is going on in the world today, so you have more information with which to make better decisions. We'll see you there. Namaste.
Free your mind with OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
And welcome back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio on the OM Times Radio Network. And we are here with Kelly Johnson talking about her book, Feeling Great, which was based on Daddy Janky's philosophy and teachings, which apparently has reached thousands of people around the world maybe more than that. It's absolutely wonderful. So Kelly, I wanted to talk to you about the book and, you know, what some of the teachings are, and if you could share those with our listeners. What was your favorite teaching? Which one affected you the most?
Well, that's a little difficult because there's so many teachings within this book. From
Something you can read pieces of, or do you have to go through it from beginning to end?
Well, no, there are certainly ones that I could read pieces of. Let's see. I wasn't expecting that one, but that's yeah. Actually, you know, that's really,
you know,
good.
What? Let's see. I just saw one here. Overthinking. I do that.
Oh boy.
I overthink too much. And you know, it stops up work. It stops up, because nothing's ever, you know, complete. It's not done yet. It's not finished. That's why, you know, I have to learn how to write my articles more quickly. But it's well, that, and also when you worry about things, that's real easy to overthink. So what do you do?
Well, overthinking is a true problem. And actually, we talk about it a couple times in the book, the problem, you know, when it comes to overthinking. But, you know, when we overthink things, we generally sort of blow them out of proportion, first of all, so we're not even really seeing the situation as it should be. And often when we do that, we start treating a situation as a crisis. It shouldn't necessarily be a crisis, but when we overthink, sometimes we do that. Or we'll massage or encourage emotions that we really should be trying to eliminate. You know, we start entertaining more complex ideas, and then we start feeling pressured, and we start feeling heavy because we're not working through them easily enough. And overthinking can really bring us down. You know, overthinking sometimes it aligns itself with worry and anxiety. Yes. And these things are robbers of contentment. They'll just take the joy.
What do you do? First of all, how do you know that you're overthinking? How do you know when to stop? I mean,
yeah. Well, now, yeah, you might know when to stop, but being able to stop is another thing. You know, when something is constantly at you, when it's coming into your mind and you've got the circular thinking, it's going around and around, and you're not solving anything, you're overthinking. You know, when we think about things, we want to come to some kind of a solution. And sometimes, you know, we can't do that necessarily in just like one sitting. But when we start overthinking, that's the time when we need some silence. We need to stop. We really need to relax and take try and get rid of those thoughts. Think on something else. And then maybe come back to them later when we can be more productive. But we can't be productive when we're overthinking situations. And like I said, it just takes us back to creating crises sometimes that really they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. They should be more easy to respond to.
You know what I think is difficult with overthinking, what I found, or worry, or not being able to stop that overthinking is emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to be thinking a lot about your work, but then when worry or emotions come into play, then it's really harder to stop because it's like the emotions feed your thinking. So do you have any suggestions on how to handle that?
Well, I would say one of the most important things that we can learn, and it's not one of the three keys, you know, in the subtitle of the book, but there are elements to those keys. There are several of them. I mean, you know, one of the things is harmony. You know, we have to learn how to bring ourself in harmony. And that's our thoughts and our feelings and our actions. When our thoughts are doing one thing and we're acting another way, or we're feeling another way, we've got such an imbalance in our life. So the three of those really need to be brought into balance. And of course, there's ways of doing that. But, you know, in addition to harmony, you know, learning to be honest with ourselves. And that's being honest and admitting that we are overthinking something. We're allowing our emotions to control that situation and admitting that they are not necessarily good emotions.
Right. And I think having Well, if you want to stop feeling badly, then I think you have to be willing to say, okay, I'm going too far, and maybe I am justified in the way I feel. But, you know, we let the emotions kind of carry us a little too far.
Well, we do. One of the topics that we discuss also is freedom. You know, freedom is really a necessity to, mm-hmm. to feeling great. But freedom isn't necessarily the ability or a carte blanche to do whatever we want. It's also, it should be the ability and a carte blanche to refuse to do things, to say no to things. So that's when we're truly, you know, using freedom as it should be. So when we learn to say no to certain things, and we learn that those things aren't good for us, and we can learn how to properly utilize that freedom.
Yeah, I guess sometimes people demand of us, and you know, a lot of times we give too much, and we have to learn how to say no. We want to be nice. Right.
Yes. Yes.
But then it's so you have to give yourself permission to say no, which I guess therefore leads to what you're saying is freedom.
Freedom to say no. Because often, you know, when we don't do that, we're saying yes out of guilt or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What happens is we're taking away from other situations in our lives. It could be our children. It could be our work. It could be our meditation time. But that time's got to come from somewhere. So, you know, sometimes saying no is the best thing we can do for ourselves, our family, other people. We really have to learn how to say.
Yeah, and I think saying no and not trying not to feel guilty about it, I think that's the most difficult thing. Or perhaps, and you tell me if this is along the right lines, but saying no and being okay that, okay, I'm going to feel a little guilty, but it's okay.
Right.
Right? And the freedom to feel guilty.
Yep.
Right? Because then we get all twisted up with, well, I said no, and that was good, and I feel better about feeling no, but then I feel guilty, which makes me feel bad.
That's true. But you know what? We can always, like, when we're saying no to someone, if someone asks us to do something, for them to, I don't know, sit on a board or make an extra cake or something for Girl Scouts or whatever, and we have to say no. Sometimes, you know, we can just say, I can't this time, but let me know when it comes up again, and I'll try, you know, to work with you the next time. You know, it's sort of a thing like, you know, if you have children and you have to say no sometimes, you know it's the best thing for them. Even though you want to give them that extra cookie or whatever, you know, it's not the best. You know, and the feeling of guilt goes away pretty quickly when they forget about it.
Yeah.
But you have to be true and honest to both sides.
Yes.
You know, of the permissions.
Yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about, it says the creating a life of optimism, enthusiasm, and contentment. Those are key in your book. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, sure. Each one of them is so important to developing a life of joy, of feeling great. And we're talking about sustained feeling great, a foundation of feeling great, not some silly euphoria or whatever that, you know, I mean, this book
temporary.
Is not going to turn you into something that you're not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, within each one of those, there's a lot of elements that make up the enthusiasm, the optimism, and the contentment. You know, we probably know a lot of people who live without enthusiasm. You know, they just
make yourself enthusiastic?
No. I don't think you can.
So how do we cultivate that?
Yeah. Cultivating enthusiasm really takes – we have to learn who we are, what we want with life. These things go together too. So we have to understand the contentment also. Enthusiasm just – you know, when we're enthusiastic for things, it doesn't mean like we're, like I said before, you know, just blowing up, going crazy. But it means that within us, we have the ability to motivate ourselves, to feel good about what we're doing, to push ourselves further, to overcome a lot of the heaviness and the sadness that sometimes we have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that type of enthusiasm that allows us to overcome.
Mm. Actually, I'm looking at a section here, authentic list. Here's the rules for happiness. Be grateful for what you have. Mm-hmm. Peter Bixo.
Yeah.
Find a source of awe in each day.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to someone. Be kind, listen, and share something. Do something for yourself, even if it's something small, like take an extra 10 minutes with your coffee. Mm-hmm. Be aware of your thoughts. Live for today. Realize that you only have right now and make the best of it. Declutter. Declutter would be good for me. Actually, whenever you do declutter, even if it's a junk drawer, he says here, or tidying up your closet, you know, it's going to make you feel so much better. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. We're good at feeling sorry for ourselves, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it says here, even if something legitimate is making you sad, know the true source of sadness and grow, but an attitude of poor me is simply being negative. So, you could be sad, but you don't have to feel poor me, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, well, we tend to do that way too much. You know, enthusiasm is one of those things that we work on. You know, nothing is just going to come
and
to
I think
us.
We,
it doesn't
we,
drop in our lap.
We talked about that earlier. These are all things that these are good reminders of things to work on, things to focus on, and that it takes a bit of time. But I think what happens is, it sounds like, and what I'm reading here, is that as you make them valuable in your life and work at it, eventually it's going to become more and more a part of your life, right?
It grows.
As it grows.
We grow, it grows.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yep.
Well, we're at our break again. So when we come back, we'll tell everybody out there, all our listeners, how you can get the book and find out more about Feeling Great and Kelly Johnson. We'll be right back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking.
You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Simone Millicis would like you to know that business can be fun, which is why she wrote the book, Joy of Business. What if you could have the joy of business rather than the stress and struggle? Most of the time, the only thing stopping you from a thriving business is you. In the Joy of Business book, Simone gives you access consciousness tools and pragmatic ways to get out of your own way and to create the business, life, and living you know is possible and beyond what this reality says is achievable. Business is joy. It's creation. It's generative. It can be the adventure of living. You can purchase your copy of the book through Amazon or Joy of Business website, www.accessjoyofbusiness.com.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our 9th season here on Old Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go. Yeah!
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio. And we are talking about how to feel great all the time and build that happiness in your life. And we're here with Kelly Johnson, who wrote the book Feeling Great, Creating a Life of Optimism, Enthusiasm, and Contentment. So, Kelly, we wanted to share with our listeners some websites where people can find out more about the book. I believe your website is feelinggreatbook.com.
That's it. That's correct. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So feelinggreatbook.com, and it's published by HCI Books, and you can find out where about all their other books as well at hcibooks.com. Is that correct?
Yes, that's it.
Cool. Okay. Mm-hmm. And can we also get the book on Amazon?
You can get the paperback or the Kindle edition on Amazon. And I was just about to check. I know 2 weeks ago the book was available for like $1.
Ooh.
So it still might be.
Well, that's perfect. You know, and it's a wonderful small pocketbook. So, you know, you can get through the book pretty quickly. So it's almost like a perfect book for Kindle. And, you know, I believe I would, you know, read it on the way to work or when you have that moment at lunch or maybe over breakfast or when you're having your tea, which is... Mm-hmm. Is kind of cool. Actually, I wanted to share with everybody, there was a quote out of this, and maybe now's a good time to do that, and then we'll talk a little bit more about announcements, because it just reminded me, tea. So when you're having your tea, you can either read the book or think of this quote. This came out of the book. Just the other day, my mother, and Kelly wrote this, my mother and I were having lunch together, and we got to talking about wholeness and the need to care for both our physical self and our spiritual self. At 82, no matter what time she goes to bed at night, she's wide awake by 2 a.m. Eventually, she learned to just get up and accept the couple of hours of sleeplessness instead of fighting them. As she gets out of bed and puts the kettle of water on the stove and asks God to sit and have tea with her, right there in the kitchen, in the very early morning hours, they spend time in quiet communion. I love that. I love that. I read that. Like, I gotta put that on Facebook. It's too long for a tweet.
Yeah, oh, it is.
But
it
so
is.
Go to feelinggreatbook.com and get the book. And I'm going to move on to a couple other announcements that I have. I am giving my Developing Your Intuition Level 1 class. It's an annual class. It really is annual. I just do it once a year in person. And so now's the time. It comes up around November, and this year it's November 7th and 8th. And you're going to learn how, if you come to take the course is given in Tarrytown, New York. We have a great group of people that always show up. You're going to find out how to get that intuition of yours working. And I help people learn how to develop their intuition so they can make it happen when they want, on what they want, and get detailed information. And I have a lot of people that always come to me and say, you know, I think I have intuition. I get these like images that pop up in my mind's eye, or sometimes I feel these buzzes and I don't really know what those are. I feel like it's energy. I'm feeling energy, or I have an urge or a knowingness. And I don't know whether that's my intuition or what's going on. So what I do is in the course, we teach you how to determine whether those things are intuition or not, and whether you're making it up or not, and how to connect to your angels and spirit guides through what I believe is your inner divine guidance, which is your intuition. So we're going to go through everything from top to bottom. And you don't have to be intuitive to take this course. You don't have to, everybody is, but you don't have to feel that, wow, my intuition is really strong and, you know, this is really going to make it better, which it will. But if you feel like you have no intuition at all, that's perfect. This is the course for you. And when I started the course, when I started learning how to do intuition, I didn't really know. I felt like I was a fish out of water. I had no idea what I was doing and I didn't know what to expect. I didn't even know how to do it. And I thought, you know, yeah, I think I have some intuition, but I'm not really sure. And eventually, I worked on it. And I went to a lot of courses. I studied it. I used my psychobiology background to learn and put the pieces together. And step by step, I was able to develop my intuition to the point where I was doing intuitive readings for people. I didn't want to be an intuitive reader, but I became an intuitive reader. Partly was to continue my studies and also to practice, but I got really good at it. And I became a sold-out reader, which surprised me. And then one day, my intuition saved my life. And it's a long story I won't tell you here, but it was really phenomenal. It made me realize, you know, this is something that everybody should be able to do. And I figured out the step-by-step process on how to do it and make it happen all the time when I wanted it to and on what I wanted and get lots of very obviously useful information. So I then dedicated my work to teaching others how to do this, and I want to do that for you. So if you're interested in coming, we are going to be doing this the weekend of the 7th and the 8th. It's all weekend at the Tarrytown Doubletree Hotel in Tarrytown, New York. And you can find out more about how to sign up and about the class at my website, lmk88.com/press, P-R-E-S-S. And you can register there if you'd like. It's a great deal. I also give lots of extras and bonuses and some of the things that you're going to get with this, which is actually worth more than the course itself, is you're going to get access to the online course, the parallel to that, which is basically all the information, but it's going to be better than you taking notes, because now you're going to have the online class for life. And you also get an additional class called the Angel Connection, which is about a $300 value. You get a published handbook with all the class notes. You learn how to do connect with your angels through all different ways, through your intuitive senses, as well as doing it through writing and so on. And we also have post-class Q&A conference calls, which you'll all get for free. And anytime I give this class in the future, if you've taken the class in person, you will be able to come back for free, which is really, really cool. So come on in, sign up. It's a wonderful course, and it's coming up soon, so people are signing up. So you better sign up soon, otherwise it'll close out. So go to lmk88.com/press to sign up, and we'll see you there. I also have an announcement from Dara Steinberg, and this is what she has to say for you. Would you like to experience clarity about your life's direction? Have you lost your creative spark? Do you lack energy, feel overwhelmed or anxious? Well, Dara Steinberg is an intuitive clairvoyant healer who is passionate about helping people feel clear, calm, and excited about their direction in life. Get the support you need to savor life today. Make an appointment for an energy reading and healing with Dara. Visit heartofwisdomhealing.com. That's heartofwisdomhealing.com. Okay, so we're here speaking to Kelly Johnson. We're talking about how to have a life of feeling great. And Kelly, so we were talking a little bit about the different ways out of the book, and I believe it's like the three pillars, mm-hmm. right? Optimism, enthusiasm, and contentment, and mm-hmm. and working through getting those. I'm just kind of glancing through the book here. Oh, okay, so contentment, the enemy, ego. Why is the ego the enemy?
Well, the ego is the enemy because when we allow our ego to control us and we do it without even realizing that that's what we are doing, you know, we don't allow ourselves to learn. We don't allow ourselves to benefit from the positive energy that's all around us. Our ego is pretty much the opposite of humility. And, you know, don't mistake, first of all, humility for weakness, because it's not. It truly is having that lack of ego that blinds us from knowing who we truly are and being able to learn and grow.
Did you say the ego is the part of us that's judging all the time? No, you can't do this.
Are you crazy?
That's you're no good.
Sometimes that is definitely ego. Mm-hmm. Ego often is the part of us that will give excuses for things because we don't want to, admit really.
So we don't have to go forward, right? We don't have to go do.
It sometimes will prohibit us from telling the complete truth, or whether we don't want someone else to know that complete truth, or whether we're hiding it from ourselves. And very often it's ourselves that we're hiding it from. It tends to also stop us from having the self-respect that we really need. Ego gets in the way of all of those things, and we rarely realize that we're making decisions from a place of ego. We have to learn that.
Yes. I think ego is good up to a point, but I think it goes crazy. Maybe because ego, to some extent, if you think about it from a biological standpoint, ego helps us survive. Mm-hmm. We have to think about me and take care of me because
right.
You're number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes a little bit too far. So we have to know when to pull that back. Another one you have here in the book is arrogance.
Oh, boy. Yes. And arrogance affects us. Another one of those that affects us more often than we realize.
Our contentment.
And we elevate ourselves to a position where we really shouldn't be. Whether we're raising ourselves over other people or situations that we don't want to get involved with because they're
interesting.
Below us.
So it's interesting that an arrogant person can't be content. So.
I think that'd be difficult. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Well, we're going to continue. We're going to go to break now, and when we come back, we'll talk more to Kelly Johnson.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio.
Live with medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your hosts on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Between Heaven and Earth Radio. And we are talking to Kelly Johnson about how to feel great all the time. And I'm just glancing through the book, Kelly, Why We Stop Feeling Great. Can you talk about why we stop? What stops us?
I'm so glad you went there. Because that's an area that is so important. And often, I like to talk about it even before we get into the other. But, there's a couple of points that I have here between forgetfulness, substitution, and disconnection, and busyness. But let me just say a little thing about each one of them. Forgetfulness is such an important one because so often we forget who we are. It's hard to feel great when we don't remember who we are. We are not who other people think we are or who other people say that we are. We are children of God, and we have to remember and see ourselves as God sees us. I'm sorry. I'm hearing a double.
I do. I'm hearing. I don't know
yeah,
why.
But I'll keep going. Substitution is another thing. So often in our lives, we substitute the real thing for something else, for something the media is telling us is good, for so many different things. Sometimes we become drug addicts. We're substituting for, a true good feeling within us. But we substitute so many things in our lives for the authentic things. And we are totally disconnected so often with God, with our angels, with our spiritual self. When we become disconnected in that way, we lose. We lose out.
Yes.
So rebuilding that disconnection.
There's another connection thing you have here as well as busyness. I think that's something that everybody suffers from to some extent or another. The busyness and being overwhelmed and feeling that you don't have time.
Well, we do, and I think we're probably almost all guilty of that. But what happens is we lose in every area when we become too busy to do our meditations. We are too busy. When we're busy as we are, we don't focus well on anything.
No. What do you do?
When it comes to busyness, there are a number of things. One, this is one of the most important things I think I learned from this book because I tend to be one of those that are disheveled and busy. Before I leave in the morning, one of the most important things to do, because, we tend to go through a list in our minds, all the things we have to accomplish that day, the things that we need to do, is never leave the home in that condition. Even if it's 5 minutes to stop and meditate and breathe, when you leave calmer in the mornings,
is that what you do? Does
that
help you?
It does. It does. And even throughout the day,
So do you do that? Just before you walk out the door?
Well, no, not necessarily. Okay. I like to take time in the morning, but sometimes if you can't do that, I have to at least take that 5 minutes because I know that when I leave, with a confused mind, my whole day is going to go that way pretty much. And then in the evening when I come home, it's hard to sit and meditate because now you've like tripled the confusion. And I hear a lot of people say that they don't have time to meditate. Mm-hmm. And, I think everyone can at least take 2 minutes throughout the day to meditate, and you learn when you
stop.
Do that,
yeah,
it changes.
You need to stop. And
yes.
I found that my brain wants it. It mm-hmm. needs to turn off for a moment.
Yes.
And sleeping is not mm-hmm. enough.
No, you can't go within yourself.
Yeah, I think it is hard for people. I think that, and I'm going to quote Dr. Richard Davidson, who's done studies on meditation. And what they did was they studied graduate students, and they took a control group, which is basically the ones that were not meditating versus ones that meditated for 10 minutes every day. And both of these groups had never meditated ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And they did measurements on their brains, and they found that after even about a month, that those who had meditated for 10 minutes every day had measurable changes in their brains for the better. And it wasn't, you know, it's not that much. So
right.
People feel guilty. Oh gosh, you know, I have to do the meditation with the proper sitting posture and the proper place and the proper environment and, and so on and so forth. And I think even if we just take that little break, even if it's for, I think you could even do it for, as you say, a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a huge difference. The brain, thank you for that, right?
Yeah. You know, I have people ask me, out of all of the things in this book, if I were to recommend one thing to get them started on a path of feeling great, what would I recommend? And I think this would be my first recommendation. And on the Brahma Kumaris website, they have several two-minute guided meditations. So you could sit anywhere in your car, in your desk, in your out, whatever kind of work you do, and do the little two-minute meditations. And they help so much. It's such a great place to start. And the guided meditations help us get to where we need to be to do it on
our
own.
Yeah, those are good beginner meditations, especially if you have trouble sitting still and being quiet. Your book, and Dadi's famous for having stories and parables. Do you have one that you can think of that you liked?
Boy. There are a number of them. I think I'm going to tell you one that's, and I'm going to have to tell you off the cuff because I don't remember.
That's okay.
What page it's on. But there is a company that that advertised for a position, and there was an applicant that came in and came in and sat in the lobby and asked the receptionist across from him, can you tell me what the people are like at this company? And she said, well, can you tell me what the people were like at the last place you worked? And he said, oh, gee, they pushed me really hard. They weren't really all of that nice. I'm not going to miss them that much, and I'm looking forward to something different. She said, you know, that's how you're going to find people here. So he got up and left. Mm. And the next applicant came in and sat down, and he basically said the same thing to her. Can you tell me what the people are like at this company? So she said, well, what were they like at the company that you left? He goes, oh, they were great. I'm going to miss them. You know, I worked with them for a number of years and got to know so many of them. And, you know, and we just became friends. And the work was hard, but it was good. And I learned. I'm going to miss it. She goes, you know, that's just how you're going to find them here.
Hmm.
Now, and that comes to optimism and enthusiasm.
And, and I guess perspective, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's where it starts is... Mm-hmm. You, if that's what you see the world as, that's what's going to be reflected back to you. So if you're optimistic, I love optimistic people. I love people who are positive.
Right.
And I feel very blessed because my son was born happy and he is a happy person. And it's just fun. Now, you know, one of the things that he does naturally is he loves to laugh. So he'll find funny things on YouTube. I think he subscribes to one of the, you know, the funniest subreddits out there, and he's and he's always coming over and showing us all these different things, and whether it's on Facebook or YouTube or Reddit, and his mind is filled with that.
That's
You know, and it's because he's a happy person and he likes that stuff, so it's kind of fun for him. But then I noticed that he has those things in his mind all the time, and so when a scenario comes up, he throws out a joke that he heard somewhere. One was, I heard that you're not supposed to go to the grocery store when you're hungry. Well, it's been about 3 days now. And
that's
that was
great.
So, but you know, he has these things 'cause he's always looking for them and it makes him a happy person.
Right.
So and optimistic as well. And he is very optimistic. In fact, he says that he is always he's so excited about life that it's hard for him to go to sleep because he thinks about all the wonderful, great things that he can do and that's going
incredible.
To happen. It is, you know, he's a gift in that way, or God's given him a gift. And but I think that what you're saying from the book is that when you work at bringing in the optimism and the happiness, it brings to you contentment and enthusiasm, right? So
yes, and at the same time, we have to be realistic, and we have to also be aware of the negative things that are in our lives and work on getting rid of them. So, you know, it's like darkness and light can't live in the same space. Mm. So the more we learn to push out the darkness and the negative, the more of the positive and the light and, our connection to, our angels and God, and it can really come in and work in our lives.
That's perfect.
But we have to, we
have to know them both, right?
Yes.
You have to know the good and the bad so that you can keep the good. Get rid of the bad. That's a wonderful note to end our show on. We're at the end of our show. Can you believe it?
It goes fast.
Very fast. So what a wonderful book. Feeling Great, Creating a Life of Optimism, Enthusiasm, and Contentment. Thank you so much, Kelly, both your first and last name at the same time. Kelly, for joining us. It was great talking to you.
You too. Thanks so much, Lisa.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So, and your next book, come back, please. I would love to have you.
I'd love to.
Have a great conversation. That was Kelly Johnson, and her book is Feeling Great, Creating a Life of Optimism, Enthusiasm, and Contentment. You've been listening to Between Heaven and Earth, Conscious Living for Your Soul. So tune in next time right here on Own Times Radio. We'll see you then. Angel blessings to everyone. Bye.